Great. If everyone could sit down, we are now going to do the reading, which we're going to be done slightly differently. So if everyone could get their Bibles open to Psalm 65, and we are going to read it all together. We're going to split the church in half and read one half read one verse and one half read the next verse. And so children, make sure you're reading along with your parents and they can help you with any tricky words. So this half are going to read with John and you're going to start verse 1 and read every other verse. This half you're reading with me and we're going to read verse 2 every other verse. But we'll give you a chance to find Psalm 65.
Page 580. All ready? Okay, ready this side? Praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled.
You who answer prayer, to you all people will come.
When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions.
Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple.
You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of all the farthest seas.
Who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength.
Who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations.
The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy.
You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water, to provide the people with corn, for so you have ordained it.
You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops.
You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance.
The grasslands of wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness.
The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valley are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing.
Thank you very much, John and Hannah, and all of you for reading that and helping us through that psalm. Keep your Bibles open, because we're going to take a look at some of those sentences, those verses, as we think about harvest. Now, as we think about harvest, I wonder, just think on your own, what is the best gift, the best present you've ever received? That's not just a question to the little ones, that's a question to the grown-ups as well. What do you regard as the best? It's hard to pick the best, isn't it? Maybe in your top three of gifts or presents that you've ever received. As John mentioned earlier, harvest is a time when we can remember all the things that we have, the things that we've been given, and we can be thankful for them. And so we're going to take a few moments to look at this psalm, which is a song, it says, on the very first line underneath Psalm 65. It's a song written by David, King David, the greatest king that Israel had throughout the Old Testament. And this song that David writes speaks of all the good gifts that have been given to us. Let's look at some of them now. Here's the first thing we're going to think about. We're thinking about the gift of creation. Have a look at verse 8 or sentence 8 over the page. Have a look down. Have a look over your mum or dad's shoulder. David says, "The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders." David's saying that every single person all around the whole world looks at everything all around the whole world and goes, "That is amazing. They are filled with awe at the wonderful things that God has created. And David mentions some of these to try and broaden our view and think, wow, that is incredible. He talks about the mighty, massive mountains. Did you see that in sentence 6? I wonder, shout it out, someone. What is the tallest mountain in the world? Mount Everest. Here's a picture of it. I didn't take it. I nicked it from somewhere else. I've not been that far over there. Here's Mount Everest. Now, Mount Everest is 29,029 feet, or, depending on which measurement you prefer, 8,848 meters. This is all age, so we're gearing towards whatever empirical or metric or whatever device you use. 29,029 feet or 8,848 meters. That is tall. To try and get an idea of how tall it is, does anyone know what building this is? The AA building. Now, I learned pretty quickly when I moved to Basingstoke that we are proud of our AA building, aren't we? Yeah. If you are Basingstoke born and bred, this is our claim to fame, apparently. The AA building is apparently, I don't know if this has been proved. Let's say it's been proved for argument's sake. It's apparently the highest point between here and New York. Now, that is a long way. Now, most of that is the sea, but we'll forget that. That doesn't matter. The AA building is a big building that we're proud of here in Basingstoke. The AA building is 274 feet or 83 meters. If we wanted to get to the top of Mount Everest by going up the stairs of the AA building, we would need, can you see the little AA building up there? We would need, that's not to scale, that's my guess, I'm sorry. But we would need 106 AA buildings in order to get to the top of Mount Everest. That is a lot of steps to climb. What does David in his song tell us about the mighty mountains? Sentence 6, he says, "You, God, formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength." The mighty mountains, Mount Everest, formed by God, his brilliant creation. Or he gives us something else. He says the seas that you see around you, they're all under God's control. Anyone here know where the deepest point in the sea in the world is? Do you know? Yes, well done, that is incredible. Here is, for those of you who don't know, here is Challenger Deep, it's called, the Mariana Trench. Can you see that? So that's the point. The Mariana Trench is the deepest point in the ocean around the world. It is deep to 35,876 feet, or for those of you who work in meters, 10,935 meters. If all those numbers you can't quite work out, it is deeper than Mount Everest is tall. You flip Mount Everest over, you put it in the sea, and this point is deeper than that. I've got no idea how many AA buildings that is. David in his song, he says, God is in control of all the waters and the seas. There is no wave strong enough that can beat God. What an incredible creation. David says, look around at everything you see. It is all made by God, and it is all given to us to enjoy. Did you know there's over 200,000 different species of plants in the world? And over 8 million different species of animals? David says, everything that's been created has been created by God and given to us. But it's not just creation. Everyone's looking for their favorite animal, look, I can see. Let's move on, quick, listen to me. It's not just creation itself, but David also says it's the things that creation gives us. It's the things that are produced in creation. Do you see that in sentence 9? You care for the land and you water it.
You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, just as you have ordained it. Remember all the things we saw in the quiz earlier? The milk, the eggs, the baked beans, the woolly jumpers. All come from our beautiful creation, which all comes from God. Have a look down. Do you see all the yous in these verses from sentence 9? You care for it. You enrich it. You drench its furrows. You soften it with showers. You crown the year. David wants us to get from this song that it's all about God. He's created it. He's given it to us. And through creation, he gives us every good thing. It's all his work. So, for example, take this. Bowl of cornflakes. Looks little because you're so far away. No, it's one of these little packs. Here's my bowl of cornflakes. Let's see how this goes. Here's some milk. Not been out too long. Think of my bowl of cornflakes in the morning. Where's it come from? I won't eat it. I won't be able to speak. Where's it come from? Can someone read out verse 9? Hannah, can you put Hannah's mic on? Because I've lost my Bible. What have we got?
You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, for so you have ordained it.
To provide the people with corn. So where does my cornflakes come from? Well, you probably just think it comes from the cupboard. Or maybe you wait for the delivery man to come or woman to come and deliver your shopping. David says, take the corn. Even your cornflakes comes from God. And I can forget that. Because there's so many steps between the corn from the farm to my bowl in the morning. There's the farmer who picks it. Or there's the businessman who buys it from the farmer. Or there's the person that makes it into my cornflakes. Or there's the delivery person who drives it to my front door. So many people involved, so I can forget that David says, God gave it to me. And yet, what is amazing is every single person along the way is created by God. And so as God enriches and waters the field, so I get my corn, so God made the farmer who picks it for me. And God makes the businessman who buys it for me. And God makes the person in the factory who makes it into my cornflakes. And God makes the delivery person who drives it all the way to my front door. God provides me with my corn. And God provides me with every person who brings that corn to my kitchen table. There's the first thing we're going to think about. God created everything. And everything that we enjoy from creation, God gave them to us. Wonderful gifts from God for us to enjoy. We're going to think a little bit more about the rest of it in a moment, but I think we're going to sing first. So back over to the guys for our next song. So first part, before the song, we've seen that we have God's great gifts for us, seen in creation, seen in all the things that we enjoy from creation. And yet, in David's song, he says there is a greater gift that we can enjoy. In fact, the greatest gift that we can enjoy. Have a look at sentence 3, verse 3. Keep your Bibles open. Grab them again if you shut them for the actions and the song. We're on page 580. In sentence 3, verse 3, David talks about the greatest gift that we can enjoy. David says, when we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Now, transgressions is another word for sins. David's saying, we've all sinned. Do you notice that? He says, when we were overwhelmed with sins. Not if, but when. David says this affects every single person. What is it? Well, think about what we've learnt in this Song of David. David's saying that God has given us so many good things. And what we've often done is we've taken those good things, but ignored the person who's given them to us. Today is actually my nephew's birthday. So yesterday we had a party for him. We managed to squeeze in probably the last barbecue of the summer. It was a good day, except there was a point where I was a little bit sad. You see, I gave my nephew his present for his birthday, and he took it, and he was so interested in it. But he never said thank you to me. Now, he's only two, so I've got to kind of give him cut him a bit of slack, right? Yeah, I know. But still, it's a little bit of me has gone, oh, come on. Look, I'll let him off this year, but we'll see what happens next year. But look, this is what we've all done to God. And unless you're two here, we're all able to say thank you. And David says in his song, God has given us so many good things. And so often we take those things, we love them, and yet we can forget the giver of those things. And yet there's wonderful good news, David says. He says there can still be forgiveness. So every single time we might take gifts and forget God who's given them to us. Every time God says, if you come and say sorry, I promise I will forgive you. That is a wonderful, wonderful gift. And yet, David says that's not all. Have a look at the next sentence, sentence 4, verse 4. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your temple. David says, we are filled with good things. God doesn't just give us forgiveness, but he gives us so much with that. He gives us satisfaction. He fills us with good things. Now, this doesn't mean that if you become a Christian, if you are a Christian, that just means that good things happen to you all the time, or you'll get good things and like you'll never get ill or life will be really, really good. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that if you are a Christian, or when you become a Christian, when you are forgiven, there are so many good things that come with that. David says we get satisfaction in life, that we've been forgiven. That means that we don't need to feel guilty or feel shame for the way that we've treated God because he's forgiven us. We get a new family. We get to come to church and get to know different people. For also in our new family, we get to call God Father. We're able to call the person who made the highest mountains, the mighty mountains, the deepest sea, we're able to call him Dad. And that brings wonderful peace. Because you know, however well or badly things go, however you're finding school or college or work, however life is feeling, nothing can stop God being your father. That is a good thing. And we get a new home. Not like a new house, I'm afraid, if you're looking for a new home. Not like a new house here. But you see what David talks about in that sentence 4? We're brought near to live in your courts. That means that one day, every single Christian will go and be with God in his home. We'll be with him in person. It's a wonderful, wonderful good thing that comes with forgiveness. How do we get this greatest gift? Well, here is a sentence, here is a verse in the New Testament, something Jesus said. as to how we get this gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here is where those greatest gifts are found. They're all found in the person of Jesus. He offers those wonderful things: forgiveness, satisfaction, peace, a new family, a new home. How do we get it? Let's have the verse back up, if that's all right. He gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him. We need to believe in him, to trust in him, to trust in what he's done for us. So will we be thankful? Will we be thankful for God's great gifts that we see in creation and all the things that we get from creation? And will we be thankful for God's greatest gift of Jesus Christ and all that he gives us? Forgiveness, peace, satisfaction, a new family, a new home. Will we be thankful? And will we believe in him and accept this greatest gift?